Test.
Give it up for Matt from the Y. The Y is so gracious and host some help. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, if you guys are a first timer to Huddle, if you can maybe just sneak your hand up here, we'd love to welcome. Oh yeah, look at those hands. Let's welcome guys to Huddle. Today's lunch sponsor is Anonymous, but let's thank these wonderful ladies over here. Service every week. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. There's more hot dogs. So today, Huddle's going to just be a completely different experience from what we've been used to, I think, over the last so many years, and we're expecting God to move and the Spirit to move among us, and we're just very grateful for these next 3 weeks. It's going to be on prayer, and it's just not someone's just going to be speaking to us. We're gonna apply it over these next 3 weeks, and grateful for that. As for you table leaders, normal health table leaders, you're going to take today off, and they have prayer leaders for us at each table. So when Pastor Jeff is finished, then they are going to take over. So, Jeff, if you mind coming up, we'll bless the food and pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for today, Lord. Thank you for your love and your gratefulness and your wisdom and your power. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness and your favor. upon us. Thank you for this tool you have created called Huddle. God, thank you for Jeff and his life and his journey and what you've placed upon his heart and the prayer team. God, we just ask you to do some crazy stuff with it. We lay it before the foot of your cross. Lord, we're so thankful for this food. Bless it to our bodies so we may go out and do your will. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Is this your phone?
Yeah, it's recording.
Oh.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff Russell. I'm the pastor at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship here in Kokomo, and I'm really honored to be able to share this time with you today. I have a little bit of a testimony that I want to share with you, and probably wondering, well, why did you get all dressed up for this, right? It's just us here. Well, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to minister to a family that I'll be doing a funeral for here in just a little bit. So I'm all set to put my suit coat on and head over there once I'm done here. But sorry to disappoint you that I didn't get dressed up for you. I'm sure. But I just wanted to share with you that through the years, I'm just probably a regular guy. I'm a pastor of a church. I started New Beginnings in 2002. And probably after about 13 years of pastoring, I had gone through the death of two children, a grandchild, a fight with stage 4 cancer. Pastoring my church, seeing people come and go. And back in 2015, I was experiencing another health crisis. And coming through there, I just said, Lord, I don't know how much time I got left on this earth, but I don't want to just coast. I don't want to just maintain. I want to be the man that you want me to be. I'm willing to go wherever you send me. But if you ask me to stay in Kokomo, you got to give me a reason to stay. And I'll tell you why. Because I think God has built quite a story through my life. But I think the people that I pastor had been so used to hearing about it and hearing me that I'm not too sure I was even being heard anymore. And as I sat and or just listened to people talk, now I'm pretty much a go-getter. And wherever I'm at, I'm all there. But I guess maybe in a sense I get tired of people talking about the show I was putting on, like watch Jeff as he goes out and reaches people. Well, I wanted them to go out and reach people. And God did answer my prayer. He said, I want you to stay in Kokomo, and I want you to teach my people how to pray. Did you hear that? Teach my people how to pray. Now, I've been trying to disciple people and teach them about prayer, but maybe what God showed me was, no, not just individually, but teach them how to pray together. So I started a journey. That journey would say, if I'm going to pastor, I want to pastor a praying church. Not just a church that said prayers, but a praying church. And then I stopped and asked myself this question. Where is a church that I can use for an example? One that's a praying church. As I listened, as I looked, as I had to look myself in the mirror, I had to admit that we live in a prayerless culture. Amen. And I'm not talking about the secular world out there. I'm talking about the Church of North America. We don't pray together. We don't pray well together. There's just so many more things that we can do that seem to be efficient and more effective than stopping for the inefficiencies of pausing and talking to God together. So in 2016, I have sought to grow a praying church. There are men here today that know it firsthand. They knew the journey that we went on together, and as we started it, it was like driving a car with four square wheels, okay? We stumbled along, but through the years, those wheels have rounded out. And I can only tell you today that it is worth it. It is worth it to build communal prayer into our lives. And I just want to share with you today that we don't force people to do it, but I do seek to live out an example of that by a lifestyle and a communal lifestyle of those who are living in that direction. Now, to help with that, I went through, I met somebody at the Moody Pastors Conference in 2016 named Daniel Henderson. And I went to his prayer meetings and I was absolutely shocked. I was trying to move your church to a praying church. Can I just tell you this? It wasn't a church growth method, okay? We had people leaving because I was trying to go this way. So, you know, I didn't do this because, okay, we'll go from this to that, you know? And but the fact of the matter is, it was the right thing to do. It was the right way to live. So when I got done with that 3-month coaching cohort, I said, man, I don't want to do this alone. So I found a couple other pastors and talked to them about prayer and communal prayer. And they actually started a pastor's prayer meeting with me at 6:30 on Thursday mornings. We were meeting in another pastor's church. In fact, we started out with four and we grew to three within a week, okay? So, but over the years since then, we have grown, and right now we meet on Thursday mornings at Big Ben Coffee Shop at 6:30. I know they don't open until 7, but Deb Copeland's been nice enough to give us access at 6:30 in the morning, and that hour is an hour of prayer discipleship and prayer. In other words, we speak into each other's lives, get centered on prayer, and then we actually go to the Lord in prayer, which I'll unpack in just a moment. I just want to take a couple more minutes and just tell you that as you sit here and listen to this, you've got to realize that isn't about that, just that room. It's about these gentlemen taking this. We don't want to do anything we can't export. Take what we are gathering here back to your churches, back to your leadership teams, and start becoming a church that prays, a praying church, doing it together. And then, and just this past Sunday night, we did it. You might say this is an advertisement, but I'm just throwing it out to you. Once a month for the last year and a half, we have been meeting on the first Sunday night of a month and praying together. In other words, the pastors meet, they go back to their churches, try to grow that, and then we meet together once a month, and as the Church of Kokomo, we pray together. I find this not to be very popular. I find it that I don't go out and market it. We try to do it through personal conversation, and those who respond are the yes people, okay? We're just looking for who's embracing a yes and going with it. This isn't something you can promote in the sense of making somebody do it. It's something that grows in your heart. The verse that I like to use is taste and see that the Lord is good. I know why some of you don't go to prayer meetings, because you've been to prayer meetings, okay? You got Aunt Matilda's knee somewhere 3 states away. You know what I mean? You go through all these requests and then you spend 2 minutes praying. Well, that's not the kind of prayer that we practice, nor do we promote. So for the next today and the next 2 weeks, we simply want to share with you our hearts and invite you to practice this way of prayer with us. I didn't come up with anything new. In fact, I came up with something ancient, but it has a contemporary relevance. What I'm trying to share with you in just a little bit, we're just going to turn it over to you at the tables, and we're going to walk through this together, because you can spend all this time talking about prayer, but this is my contention. Your mind, will not be able to absorb what your heart doesn't taste. And we would rather your heart taste this. We would rather just something that burns in your heart, okay, that says, oh, this was good. You do know, as you read through the Gospels, there was only one thing that's recorded in the Gospels, it's in the Gospel of Luke, that the disciples literally came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us.
Teach us to pray.
Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So all I'm going to share with you today, and all these gentlemen are going to share with you today, is to say, let's pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. This is not something I learned in seminary. It is not something I learned in Bible college. And it's not something that I learned in the many churches that I belong to. I'm saddened to say that. But the rugged individualism of North America, where we just do it ourselves, we don't do things well together, especially pray together, is a blind spot. We're so focused on what success means. I'm reminded in this very week, back when Jesus was with his disciples, they were in the temple area. And they said, Jesus, aren't these buildings fantastic? I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to clue you in here. There won't be one stone left standing amongst another in just a little while. It's going to be wiped out. And what will last? Thank you so much for giving me this forum to speak, but if I could say to you, like it says in the book of Revelation, because you say you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, you don't know that you're blind and naked. You understand, folks? We have so much. And I've made a decision. Yeah, we can go on without praying together. But it's what Jesus called us to do. To be those kind of people who live into this together. And I'm just going to tell you that invisible things are real. And God's invisible kingdom is real. But you cannot get into God's invisible kingdom without doing it His way. Okay? You can't. And you won't. I'm inviting you to taste and see. Just at least open your heart. I do not stand up here as a prayer expert. I stand up here today as a simple guy that wants to be a cowboy when he grows up. Hear me? I do. I'd like to be a cowboy when I grow up. But I'm on a journey trying to say, God, how do I best pastor people? How do I live as an example? How do I bring glory to your name? And how do I emphasize the things you want emphasized, so that people will seek first the kingdom of God, because it is the only real kingdom. Amen. It is the only lasting kingdom. Amen. And when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we didn't get everlasting life someday. We have everlasting life now. Amen. And by the way, let's clue into something. Jesus Christ is ruling the universe now. Amen. And we need to be, and I'm just going to say it, we need to be the people who believe that and live into His reality and His rule. You know why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ, in this culture, we focus so much on, well, if we vote this person in, we do this. Why don't we stop and pray and see what God will do? And give us discernment. It won't be the only thing that we do, but it should be the first thing we do, which will give us discernment on what to do next. And our little motto is, we'll go as far as God shows us. When we get there, we'll see further. Okay? That's the discernment that He's given us. And folks, that's what I want to share with you today. Now, over the next little bit, I just want, if you have a Bible with you, if you just want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to briefly share something with you from there that Jesus didn't just recommend it. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And he said, pray like this. I know a lot of times the old King James Version said, go into your closet and pray, where the idea was to go into a conference type room, not just an individual closet. It was communal prayer. Don't show off. Gather privately. You don't put on a show for the world, but you go and pray together. In verse 5 of chapter 6, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Yeah, they're going to be seen. But when you pray, go into your room. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Guess what? We're in the room. Amen? Yep. You know who else is in the room? God Himself, right here with us. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, these yous right here is not just a single person you. He's speaking to a whole group. Okay? In fact, this is a Sermon on the Mount. In other words, we interpret that individually, but he's speaking communally. And then he says, not only that, but pray sensibly. Verse 8, therefore, how about when he talks about vain repetitions? Yeah, I guess I got ahead of myself here. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. So what he says in verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. And here it is, on the little handout that you got, it says pray together on the front page. And this is how you pray together. Well, if you open it up, we do prayer that doesn't start with your requests. It starts with giving God the first word. We're going to pause and listen to the scriptures. Okay? In other words, let God speak to your heart. Do you have a pen on you? If you have a pen, I'm going to have you do a little exercise before you go to prayer at your table. Okay? But we're just going to go through four steps of the Lord's Prayer. And if you look at the number one on there, we start with who is God? His attributes. In other words, give God the first word and recognize who He is. Our Father, say it with me, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Start with the character of God. How is He revealing Himself to you? Secondly, once you do that, you recognize God for who He is, you know what will happen, don't you? Ooh, I'm kind of out of whack with you, Lord, right? So that's when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that you control very little what goes on this planet? But God has given you one space that you make the final decision, and that's your heart. And if Jesus Christ doesn't rule there, who cares who's in the White House? Do you understand? If we can be the people that are the sign that the kingdom of God is real, be true sons and daughters of God, and then we, when people are with us, they get a foretaste. They get a sample of God's glory. And then number three, what happens is when we go to worship and then we align ourselves, that totally changes our requests because we're different. Okay? We go with what resources, what relationships need to be in place so that we can do God's will. And in just a little bit, and I'm about to shut up here, we're going to be leaving this place. And when we leave this place, we're going to say, Lord, before we leave, lead us. Lead us. And no matter where I go, guess what's waiting for you? Temptation. You're not leading us into temptation. You know who else is waiting for you? The devil. And his demons are waiting for it. Deliver us from evil, because I am focused on living for your kingdom. I need to do it by your power and for your glory, Lord. True. See, it's a whole life way of praying. So right now, if you can see this in the front cover, or it's on page one, on the inside, page one, where it talks about God's praiseworthy attributes. If you need to see bigger print, you have your Bible with you, turn to the 23rd Psalm. The kind of prayers that we do, we start with giving God the first word. I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, just praising God for how he has shown you who he is through this psalm. Now, when the table leader will take it, and he'll set an example to you, but here's what we want to do. Did you know when you pray, God already knows the whole story? So we're just going to ask you to say sentence prayers. You got examples written in here. But if you go ahead and take off on a paragraph, there'll be people at your table that won't get to pray, because I'm going to give you like a minute or so, and we're going to move to the next point. We're going to go through four rhythms. So here's the rule. One or two sentences at the most. Secondly, you say, well, that's ungodly. Well, we're praying, we're learning how to pray together. Okay? That's the focus thing. How do we learn to pray together? Have you ever been with somebody, they prayed all the way around the world, and when they got done, you had nothing left to say? Said you were glad they were done. I would rather you got done wishing you said more, but you're respecting others. That's really important. So use the economy of words. So, and our first thing that we're going to do is listen to God. And that's the one thing we don't do well sometimes. So here's your intentional way of listening. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. And on this little thing right here, when God speaks to you about something about who he is, you circle it. And then you make that your prayer of reverence to God. For every one of you, that might be a little different. And don't worry about it. Somebody else prays your word. Just pray it your way. Okay? Here we go. The 23rd Psalm. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in this first part of our prayer, following the way Jesus said to pray, you can't ask God for anything. You just praise him for who he is. What's one thing that stood out? What did you circle? Or what grabbed you? What was kind of a spiritual Velcro? Right now, I'd like to turn it over to the table leaders to lead just in a prayer. And in just a minute or two, I'll be leading us in kind of a general prayer and going into the second phrase. Go ahead, folks.
Just a nice,
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, lift up a prayer of worship to you. I come before you on behalf of every man that's here today, and I pray that they were able to taste around that table the goodness of just worshiping you for who you are. As we take a step in what it means to pray like Jesus taught us. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of us say,
amen.
Amen. So on the part two, as you just look across the page, how shall I respond? Because of the way that you expressed yourself to God, how do I line my life up to him? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's the one place you control it? Yourself at this table. Get that part right. And if you see, look down there, there's some possible prayer prompts. Lord, I confess my selfish, simple motives and actions to you. Now, you might know what they are. If you have to say it esoterically, you could call it a spare tire instead of saying what it is. You know what I mean? Okay? I'm just trying to, sometimes we as men, you know, how do I say this? Well, Lord, you know what it is. But the point I'm trying to make is there's some prayer prompts right there. And the table I went over to, can I just say how impressed I was that every one of you took a sentence or two? And I just want to say how grateful I was just to sit with that. Now, if you didn't do that the first time around, just a sentence. You see how fast this goes, okay? And we're going to be moving it again. We're just trying to give you a taste. This is like walking through Sam's Club and you're getting those little taste things, okay? So let's go to Lord in prayer. Let's align our lives with God. Our focus is alignment, confession to God. Confessions and alignment is happening at these tables, maybe not just verbally, but Lord, deep inside the hearts and souls of men, I pray there can be a great reset. And I pray, Heavenly Father, your kingdom would come and your will would be done, not only in our individual lives, but in our communal life together. In Jesus' name, amen. When we line our lives up with God, okay, the way you look at this is, what do I need in order to not only get there, but stay there. Okay? So there's two things Jesus, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, right? Our debts, trespasses, as we forgive those. So what it does is gives you bullet points. Every prayer request you've ever had or ever heard deals with a resource or a relationship. And Jesus has given us the bullet points. There's no resource that's too small. There's no relationship that can't be moved in. And that's what we do when we come to requests. If you look, using the 23rd Psalm, all these prayer prompts, why don't you pick one or make up your own sentence prayer that you can say, Dear God, please provide or help with. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Lord, I come before you now on behalf of all these men and pray that you will hear and answer these prayers according to your will. Thank you for the honest cries of these short sentence prayers that you know the whole story behind them. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a minute or two, we're going to leave from here. So we say, if you go to the back page, Lord, lead us from here. That's our readiness. Now we're ready to go. Lead us not into temptation, because it's going to be there. Deliver us from evil, but lead us to live for your kingdom. Let's do it by your power. Let's do it for your glory. Just take a couple minutes for those prayer prompts and do it around your table. And we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer together in just a couple minutes. Please go to the Lord in prayer. In 1 minute, we will start the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to join with me as we pray to our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you for giving this a try this week. A couple things I want to say is, I remember when I first took this to my elder board, and we sat down and did it four steps, they thought I was stinking crazy, okay? Like, what are you trying to get us to do? Because we've all been shaped a certain way. But I'm just trying to introduce to you to say, Jesus said, this is the way we pray together. Yeah, Anthony knows, he's shaking his head, he thought I was nuts. So what I'd like to encourage you to do is this. You have the 23rd Psalm. Keep this paper. It gives you the grid. And to begin to shape yourself, because next week we're going to do this again and the following week. Not me, it would be another pastor that's part of the prayer group that I'm with on Thursdays. And I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to do anything Jesus didn't say to do. And this can be a grid as you read the scriptures. You can begin to look for the character of God, responding to it. There's so many avenues of this. The last thing I want to say is, do this two or three times. Do it at least two or three times before you come next week. How many would make a commitment to that? Do it with your family. So they think you're nuts too, okay? So, but here's the one thing. Here's what we've got. During the pandemic, I'll say one last thing, and I'll turn it back over to whoever's in charge here. During the pandemic, we got online and began praying together online. And we've developed a divine reading of scriptures. Truthfully, we borrowed it, and we just shaped it the way we wanted to. But we read the scriptures, and we pray together like this, only instead of a four-way pattern, we did it two ways. God, you are worthy. Lord, we are needy. And it happens three times a day within our ministry. All you have to do with your smartphone is dial in on it, you listen, you pray together, you share a bit together, within 15 minutes you're done and off. And Ed Little runs it every morning at 7 o'clock. He also runs noon, because the elder we had that ran noon moved away. He had to escape my pressures. And then Jim Robinson generally runs it at night. But if you would like to know what that is, and if you'd like to join in with it, I just would like to invite you to get on board. And you can taste it as well. So, brother, I'd like to turn it back over to you. Thank you so much for letting me share with you today. I had a time to be done at 10 till, but
we started 5 minutes late.
I know. So please forgive me.